Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You know, Pella, they're day one, man. They're day one homies for the Nick Bob Podcast. They've been with me from day one. And, you know, not only is Pella a great company, they got great people there. I went to school with my guy Vince, just a great dude. They're the kind of people you want to do business with. And if you've pushed off a project with some windows or some doors, something like that, now is the time to turn that project into a reality. Because we all know a new set of windows, a new door can do a lot of things for you. Can change the look, the vibe, the feeling of your home. It can add value to your home. Plus, it can make your home more energy efficient. Pella checks all those boxes and then some. Pella can provide window and door solutions to any home. And again, working with the people at Pella, second to none. So hit them up online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. Runza has an app, and you need to download that app because as a father of two little kids, anything that can increase speed and efficiency when it comes to eating, I'm all for it. And the app does that. I can order food on the app, pop into the restaurant. It's ready for me. It's hot. I'm in. I'm out. I'm now like a finalist for Dad of the Year or something like that. And it's in large part due to the Runza app. And ordering is a breeze on the app. You can customize your order. You can get all your favorites just the way you want them. Plus, you can earn points for rewards in the app. You can score free food from Runza in the app. So go download the Runza app. You can get Runza, get rewards, then get more Runza. All on the app. Runza makes it all better. All right, here we go. A happy recap. A recap in which we have literally no, there's going to be Better Bob references, no Sideshow Bob, rake to the face references, no Connor Culp splashes to the face references.
All our jokes are out the window.
We got gold material and it's all just going to have to sit there.
Gold,
today.
Make it gold.
It's gold, bro. It's total gold. But Nebraska dominates 56-7. There are a couple of pressing things to get to. You walked in today and I'm like, hey, I got this cool thing. I got the 10 this, 10 that. And you were like, all that. Not really. You're like, we need to get to the big thing. And I said, well, what's the big thing? Do you care to share? What is the big thing? What's the big takeaway you came in all fired up about here?
Well, that our season's not over and that I think everybody felt like, man, is this the end or so? Like people were talking about, is this the end? And then they played a game that we've kind of been hoping and wondering if they're capable of ever playing, and they just played it.
Right.
They played the game we've been waiting for, which opens up a whole new door of possibilities.
It does. I mean, it's the best game and most complete game in the Frost era. I think you could expand that even. I think you got to go back to like, I don't know, some of the 2010 games where, remember when Nebraska went on the road to Washington, blasted Jake Locker. There was a Thursday night Kansas State game where Martinez ran wild in 2010. Like, I'm trying to really rack my brain where I have seen a more complete offensive dominance, defensive dominance, clean game, and not against Roast Beef State. Like, this is the reigning Big Ten West champs.
Yeah.
They're not great this year. This isn't a great Northwestern team. But, I guess what I'm saying is not only is this the best game of the Frost era, this is one of the most complete, best Nebraska games in the past 10 years, probably.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think we don't want to overstate Northwestern. This is a down Northwestern team. They didn't look great. But I trust that coaching staff.
Yes,
I trust Fitz. And so even if they're down, this was still a performance that we have to take a step back and acknowledge. This was a special night for us. And the fact that we beat a Northwestern team, that just like bludgeoningly.
I mean, well, that's the thing. So how about the fact that Gary Sharp tweeted this? We're just talking about, it's not a great Northwestern team, but the 56 points, second most given up by a Pat Fitzgerald team.
Yeah.
And he's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
The 648 yards, most ever allowed by a Pat Fitzgerald team. And Bo, they called off the dogs at the 9-minute mark of the third quarter. Nebraska could have scored, and I'm serious. They could have scored 77 points and could have had 800 yards of offense.
Yeah. I mean, it was a clinic. It sort of made me, it reminded me of the Central Florida games. Like when Frost and the staff were down there, I mean, they did this routinely where they usually gave up more points. But I mean, when the machine was running an offense, it was just like score, 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 score.
Right.
And that's kind of what those guys got used to. But they never really had the defense to totally complement. The defense would, you know, give up some big plays and make big plays. This defense sort of just plays their sound game. Now this is what, 4 weeks in a row of sound,
really good defense. Really, really good D. And yeah, not only because there's a bunch of interesting elements within the offense to get into, but one of the big picture things that stood out to me was it seemed like the play calling was really good. I mean, they had some calls where dudes were running wide open. I mean, I've been with you in locker rooms where how much you want to bet at halftime? Lubick and Frost and those guys got up on the board and said, offense, here's the thing. This is how they reacted to this motion. We're going to score on the first play.
Yeah.
And they schemed them. Where I just thought the play calling seemed to manufacture big gaping holes, big opportunities for guys to make big plays, which is something you haven't seen in a long time. Let's be honest, this some of the play calling, Scott Frost came as like this, you know, big time offensive savant play caller. And so far, it's kind of been you haven't really seen that. This game, you said it felt like you were watching a Central Florida game.
Yeah. And that option scheme that they've, you know, that they worked on a lot this offseason, it's starting to come to fruition.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Because for me, because if someone goes, well, what changed? Well, first of all, let's go through all the changes that happened offensively. Number one, you had two new starters on the offensive line, Teddy Prohaska and Noelle, where they started at left tackle and left guard, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That's a change. And obviously the what you saw on the offensive line push, big difference.
Yeah.
The other change was, to me, from a schematic standpoint, we'll get to Yant in a second. We need to vote like a lot of time to Jacquizia.
Get your Yant on.
Get your Yant game right. But did it not seem like we've seen a lot of that wide receiver motion into option? It's not like we haven't seen that this year. But that seemed like that was – they ran that all the time. It seemed like they committed to having that being almost like a staple of what you're going to have to deal with. And it looked really good.
Well, Martinez is running it really good. I mean, I always judge a quarterback on the option on how they pitch. And if they're willing to fake a pitch and go, the old E Crouch, like when you got to make, because like, I think the times we didn't run that well the other night, yesterday was when we went short side and our quarterbacks basically ran right next to the running back and pitched it to where this camera is.
A couple times, Martinez, like the defender was going to tackle Martinez. There was zero space on the sideline. He would pitch it back 2 yards to Ramir Johnson so he could maybe get to where Martinez was at.
Where that's the only points where the quarterback has to turn up and force the one defender to either take you or he misses you.
Or they've done a good job and they strung you out and you still got a gain and just take your extra couple yards. But
other than that, like he's did a really good job, but some of his pitches are incredible. They're long, fast on the money pitches. Very impressive. They've been working on that.
And in my opinion, that's a skill set. Like you either kind of got that or you don't. You're either comfortable running the option, reading, pitching, all that
trusting
stuff.
Trusting your back is 5x5 or you know 5x8 or whatever it is, like away from you. Because sometimes it looks like he's not looking when he's
taught.
It's just he goes, you better be there.
Right.
That's tough.
Because there's been a couple times fall on the ground because of that. But listen, a couple of the pitches were fantastic. The fake pitch 25-yard score was like, I mean, at that point, every Husky fan was like,
oh man, okay.
I can't go to the right. Hold on, let's just.
I mean, we're all equally just, we love that. I mean, it's in our blood.
Oh,
we love the
option football. But it just, it seems like they got the right dude. They're hitting that dive hard. Ramirez a little dude, but he kind of hammers his way into the line.
Yeah.
But I guess, so did you notice that too? It seemed like the option was more prevalent than we've seen. We've seen the option, yes, but this seemed more like, you know what? I know people go cross-eyed, like, you know, at my university, we're going to establish a culture. Like people, you know, words like culture and identity have almost gotten overused to the point where people kind of like, they go in one ear and out the other, but they're real. A culture is real and an identity is real. And one of the things that stood out to me on Saturday was I thought you saw the first step in forging a legitimate identity for this offense. Like where, listen, it's going to be a lot of option. You're going to have to deal with that. Good luck. And so, but do you agree with me?
Yes. And the two tight ends help. I think if we have those dudes that can block, those tight ends that can block with a little bit of that option sprinkled in with some play action, I think that's been what has looked not only our best, but like what looks like not hard on us. Like we do it and it's an easy play for us to call and run. It feels safe. So I think that has been what, like if you were to say, where should we go? I would say just keep going that direction.
So real quick though, is there, to go back, because we kind of glossed over, I mean, they started two new offensive linemen. One was a true freshman, Teddy Prochaska.
Teddy Prochaska goes left tackle. Cochran goes over to the slides to the right side. And then Noelle comes in.
Yeah. He's a Colorado State transfer. Yeah.
He was a transfer student, from Germany to
from the International House of Pancakes. That's such a bad joke.
That's pretty good, actually.
No, it's not.
I like those kind of
I got my degree from the International House of Pancakes. Okay, sorry, but continue with your.
But he came here in high school and he played for Norris, I believe. Ooh. And then he got a scholarship to Colorado State, played there as a true freshman. Sat out and then obviously came here. But
well, I just think usually when you're having to go to a true freshman at left tackle, you're usually like yikes.com, you know?
Yeah.
But man, the proof is in the pudding. Now, again, I get it. Like Northwestern's, their run defense is not good. I get all that. But also I'm not trying to have that conversation today. Let's not turn on the mics and be like, it was Northwestern. Talk to me next week. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Yeah. It's like, I thought, you know, but it's just amazing that those.
Who's that guy?
Cut the bullshit podcast. I'm your host. It was Northwestern. Talk to me next week. ZipRecruiter is the fastest way to hire. Next question. Like, there's no, that's a bad podcast, but that's what some people, you know, some magooshes out there, like, it's Northwestern. Talk to me next week. You're like, okay.
Still, they're the reigning Big Ten West champs. Like, you take that win like that 10 out of 10, like, and celebrate the hell out of it because it's still like a Big Ten West team.
Well, so what did you, I mean, it's just amazing that you would make two changes at the offensive line. And then it would look like that.
We had a half with no penalties, zero. Half that was clean.
Right.
And I think for the most part, I was peeking at Prochaska the whole game. I just kept peeking. I go, I want to see this guy.
He's a tall glass of water, ain't he?
He's like 6'9", like legitimate. Not like, hey, I'm on the roster 6'9". You walk in and it's like, you know, like the guy's shorter than you. You're like, wait a minute. What happened? You know, in basketball, everybody's.
Like I used to list myself at 6'3", and then finally I cut the crap and I listed myself at 6'2".
I know, but everybody's 2 inches taller in basketball. Yeah,
right.
This dude walks in the room, he's 6'9". He's like legitimate.
Right.
And he's still not like filled out for him.
He doesn't look.
But he didn't look skinny twiggy. He's like 3'10", and that's
just a big.
He's a large human, but he moves well. Like, Nick, this is a guy that NFL scouts are already going like in 2 years,
right?
We're going to be looking hard because you just don't find 6'9", 320 that can move long arms like that just, it doesn't, it just, it's one in a, you right. know, it's one in 100 million type right. of thing. You know, right. it's like, that's who it is. Like, so it was good to watch him. He did a good job. I mean, he literally, it's, you know, he was in the right position. He's not mauling anybody as of yesterday, but he's just doing what he needs to do.
They ran the shit out of the ball. Nick, what can I mean,
it's like, when somebody's 6'9 and kind of just gets in your way, they're in your way.
There was this, I think it was in the third quarter, might have been the second quarter, they ran a quarterback draw with Martinez, and Prohaska got to the second level and got to a linebacker, and it looked like I pushed over my one-year-old. Like, he got to him and just...
That's the size differential. I mean, he's that size, you're the one-year-old. I mean,
it wasn't even like a sound, you know, like... Talk about low pad level hat on yeah. a hat. You know, he walked over and just shoved homeboy back.
He's just huge.
And he's just a huge dude. And yeah. so, again, the proof is in the pudding. Martinez even said it after the game on the field on his interview. He was like, we scored 56 points. Oftentimes, that's a direct reflection or correlation to how the offensive line played. And it's true. I mean, it is absolutely true. So, I mean, these guys aren't – necessarily, we're not saying they're going to be no. the greatest offensive line in the world, and these two guys are going to be the greatest yeah. offensive linemen in the world. But for one game, the whole operation looked crisper. It looked better. And I wonder if more of a commitment to that op. Now, I'll be interested next week. Was the commitment to running more option a Northwestern thing, or was it more of like, you know what, we need to hang our hat on this type of thing?
I think that's just a part of their offense that they're showing more. I think that is something that I was a little surprised they haven't run more of up to this point. I think this is something you're going to see them hang their hat on a lot.
Me likey.
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, I think, man, it's, it was great to see us just sort of execute flawlessly for one full game.
Right.
I mean, really.
And yeah, you saw what it would look like. Okay, if this team plays a clean game and doesn't make laughable mistakes, what it can kind of look like. The other thing, Jacquez, I mean, 13 carries, 127 yards, his big long run to in the second drive of the game. It sounds like afterwards, Frost basically said that he had a great spring. Yant had a great spring. He went home and ate donuts all summer. He had a donut summer.
I mean, he...
Where he said, at one point, Frost made a comment, he goes, he looks a lot better at 228 than he does 258 or whatever yeah. it is. So I think homeboy was looking okay, went home, got his donut game going.
Do you know who got to him? Our boy Snacks.
Snacks.
He told him, hey, I got something for you. And Snacks did him a disservice by teaching him the ways.
Snacks.
Cut it out, Snacks.
Introduced him to powdered donuts and chocolate donuts and various kinds of donuts.
Snacks was saying, he said, turkey legs. He said, just go. No, Snacks. No, we don't want him to do that.
Stop. Yeah, maybe that's what. In the summer, I think Snacks and Yant were roommates.
I mean.
And they had to separate Snacks and Yant.
I mean, because. Or maybe Yant's a bad influence on Snacks.
Maybe.
Like, Snacks has been doing good.
Right.
And then Yant's like, man, just have one more chicken wing.
Hey, man, donut here. But here, okay, so let's talk about Yant, though.
Yant,
he looked like, okay, here's the thing. You and I, how many times we've been talking about running backs for years. And running back is one of those positions where you see a dude, like, it's not hard to see it. When you see it, you see it.
Yeah.
And everybody tries to, for over the years, it's like, I think Terrell Newby is really good. It's like, really? Do you? I think Marvin Scott can be the guy. Oh, do you? Do you really? It's forcing it, right? And you know what a dude looks like. It took a couple of carries for Yant to go like, oh, that's what a real guy looks like.
When Yant got in the open field, he either ran through a guy and broke a tackle or ran by and juked. Like, the first guy never got him. And we've had two or three years where the first guy always
gets always.
Him. And Yant, it was like, almost, it felt like I was surprised to watch a running back run through and by people. Like, you were not going to tackle him easily. And I also, the part I loved about Yant is even on the 2 yard run with Yant, it's five.
Right.
He was falling forward.
Right.
And that's the thing that the other running backs right now, they don't have that kind of strength. I mean, he's a big boy. Yes. He's the guy you do not want to have to tackle coming through the hole. I saw one of their linebackers hit him and just bounce. I was like, oh, like you don't like tackling that guy because he's a freight train. Now, he's 200 and however many pounds. He's not had his fighting weight right now. Okay. So he's not going to be able to handle 25 carries. He's right. Just not probably. But that guy getting 10 carries has made our offense way more scary.
And the thing with him is usually when you think of a big back, you conjure up these images of someone that is just a bruiser, just seeking out contact. This is just me. I'm not so sure he didn't have the best vision of all the running backs. Like, it's not just that, yes, everything you said, like, dude, it's tough to tackle. He falls forward. All that stuff's true. But this guy was pretty smooth. Yeah. Again, his first long run, he busts one out. He breaks a tackle. He's stiff-arming a guy. So I guess what I'm saying is we think of Yant and we just think of like Dan Alexander or something. Yeah. Just a guy that's just going to, you know, hammer you. Not a ton of vision, but hammer you.
Yeah.
He looked like he had as much or more vision as any running back in the stables right now.
He's the only running back that took a run. There was not much there. He bounces it, runs, jukes a guy and runs by another dude, stiff arms a guy, and got like 60 yards. Like that was all him. And nobody's done that in a couple years now where they made something out of nothing.
Totally agree.
You need that from your running backs. That's where I think everybody for Husker Nation is going like, this guy needs to see the ball more. Whatever we got to do to get it to him.
So, okay, because the one thing I wrote down is the running back situation, is it officially Ramir and Yant?
No.
Ooh.
I think Stepp and Morrison are...
So they're still going to be
those two are in it still. There's not enough separation between any of them. I mean, Yant's, I think, would be the guy if he's in fighting shape. I don't know if he's there yet.
Okay. Interesting. So that means you're not ready. You're like Frost afterwards saying like, let's slow down. Let's not make him out to be Mike Rozier after one game.
No, I mean, he's got to be able to play in big games. He's got to pass block. He's got to be able to run the full playbook and he's got to not fumble. Like, you know, some guys you don't know until you give him a bunch of carries. Are they fumblers?
Right.
Or are they not? I don't know. So like for him, he hasn't proved that at all. Ramir has done well, but he still hasn't been game changer in any way. He's just like doing basic.
I thought this was his best game though.
Yeah, he busted through the hole a few times hard, but he still doesn't like it's hard. He's just a small guy.
Just a little dude.
So like when I say like Yant falls forward, Ramir does not fall forward. Sure. He's just small. He's a small guy. But Sevion might have the most talent in a lot of ways, but we haven't seen him consistently.
And unfortunately, Stepp, Gabe Irvin's hurt, but then
And then Stepp is like he's been pretty good when he's been there.
So interesting because I think a lot of people today, the easy thing to do is to just get way too excited about Yant. The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. I gotta talk to you guys about something. The Eagles ran Philly Special in Super Bowl 52, right? Remember that trick play? It was incredible. It was amazing. Well, Runza has huddled up and they got their own version of Philly Special. How about a Philly style Runza? Oh man, for a limited time only, you can get a Philly style Runza. Everything you love about a Philly combined with everything you love about a Runza wrapped up into one. So if you got a hunger as big as the Sixers center Joel Embiid, you need the Philly style Runza. You got green peppers, grilled onions, steak seasoning, Swiss cheese, and of course, juicy, delicious, succulent steak, all wrapped into a Runza. Oh my goodness. The combination of steak and Runza. I mean, that's kind of like the combination of Adrian Martinez and Samari Toure. It's just fantastic. So get your Philly game right. Get your Philly style Runza game right. Again, this is for a limited time only. So head out to Runza today and get a Philly style Runza. Runza makes it all better.
I'm excited about Yant, but
last night when I went to bed, I wanted to, you know, that big guy that works for the NFL Hall of Fame that surprises guys. I wanted that guy.
Is he huge?
He's an enormous.
Why does he look like his hands and his like, it's just like,
he's just like every, he looks like
his head is the size of,
he's the biggest guy in the world, but I was ready to send that guy to Sandoz. I don't even know if that dorm is still up, like, and go to Yant and be like, Jaquez Yant, you're going to camp.
Years and all the players, you are the one player that is still the running back. Yeah.
Yeah. But okay. So interesting though. So you're excited about Yant.
Yant was sixth on the depth chart, I think.
Right.
But
I guess my thing was, I think sometimes coaches, sometimes coaches can get, there are certain players. I wonder if Jaquez Yant coming back for fall camp, being so overweight, got him so far in Frost doghouse that where he said after the game, he was like, I told Yant, I'm not playing you until you get down to a certain weight. That there's a non-negotiable amount of time that it's going to take for you to lose 15, 20 pounds, whatever it is. I'm not sure what the exact amount is. I guess what I'm getting at is like, yes, he may have been. I wonder what he was on the depth chart at the end of spring ball.
I mean, he was up there when like 1, 2, or 3 in spring ball, just because the other dudes were out and he looked good. Like after the spring game, he had a couple good runs.
There was a lot of guys hurt.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm just wondering, the Jaquez Yant thing is a weird deal though, from the standpoint of, you're right, he was like sixth on the depth chart. And he comes in, the dude says, you know, 13 carries, 127 yards, and he looked like the best running back on the team. And so I'm just wondering if he got in the doghouse because of his body a little bit. Because I've always felt like, and maybe you disagree, I think your body is the ultimate indicator of how all in you are on the team. Yeah. Right? Because your body is more about, it's easy to be invested in practice for those 2 hours or in the weight room for the, like, a lot of your body is about decisions you make when you're away from the facility and you're away from practice, what you're eating, all that kind of stuff. And so I don't know. I wonder if there's an interesting part of the Yant discussion where he got in the doghouse, he had to earn it back by losing weight. He earned it. And now he's out there.
Yeah. And the part that we never get to see is the
practice.
So day-to-day practice, like, who's doing the job every day?
Because I get the sense it's Ramir. I get the sense the guy that day in and day out is the best is Ramir and Gabe Irvin, and now Gabe is hurt.
It's funny though, Ramir almost going into the season wasn't that guy.
He was fourth string.
So
in the first game,
that's, I think, the running back room. This is sort of the,
look at you throwing a bucket of cold water. I was ready to just get my Yant
Kool-Aid game. Right? It's so, Nick, it's so weird to go from six to,
it is,
to like the guy,
but that's
that fast. It's just like, nobody wants to be like, I'm going to be good every week and you can trust me. Give me the ball. Nobody's willing to do that. Right.
Right.
So we'll see. Is Yant to be like, okay, I just saw success. Now I'm going to basically, you know, I'm Mr. Diet and I'm Mr. Study the Playbook and hold on to the football. Like, is he going to be that as well? I don't know.
It's just also interesting because you can expand that conversation to the offensive line too.
Yes.
I mean, because of Prochaska and Nueli, like, if those guys were, if this was what the end result was going to be, well, what was going on with what they were doing in practice?
Yeah.
Up till that point. That's where that's where you gotta repeat it now. Okay. You did it good. Teddy Prochaska, Nueli, Yant, you balled out in one game. Now you got to do it next week and then the following week.
And so this offensive line, though, I wanted to, I forgot his last name, but the guy from Michigan, Aiden Hutchinson.
Hutchinson, yeah, baller.
He's really good at defense.
And he'll be matched up with Prochaska.
So as much as like we want to talk about Prochaska's pro career already, like,
is he going to Canton? I got big guys.
What's the big guy's name?
I don't know.
We gotta find his name. That guy is huge, though.
I got Yant going to Canton, and Prochaska at this point, he's heading to Canton.
Is the big guy ever going to get to Canton for all of his great speeches?
He's going
to
send himself.
He says it every time every person, and it feels like something
Jimmy
about
Johnson
the talk
gets emotional.
Something about the talk is like, as he gets going, he's like, okay. And then he keeps going. He's like, all right, now you're getting me. It's like,
yeah. The back, the more he talks, he can get it. Yeah. Yeah.
And it just builds the waterworks.
It does. He's good at it.
But Prochaska's got to block this dude, this Hutchinson, who is, he was freaking killing people. I watched him earlier this year. He had like 5 sacks. I mean, he was crushing anybody trying to block him.
And so, you know, a matchup, like he is going, he's getting his scouting report today and getting to, and he's going, hold on. I got a true freshman.
Yeah.
That is, this is going to be his second game starting.
Mm-hmm.
Homeboy is getting a napkin out and starting to, I mean, he is ready to eat some Teddy Prochaska.
Well, and then he's got, you know, Cochran's up is a redshirt freshman on the other side at right tackle. So they're both going to get
this. Oh, there are guy. Problems. They're, yeah. Like,
I'm just telling you, like, as much as we want to get all excited,
look at you.
This is Michigan.
Look at level-headed Bo.
This is Michigan.
I want an irrational Bo.
With, well, this guy's not quite Chase Young, okay?
Let's hope not.
You remember when we had to try to block Chase Young for a couple games?
Yeah, like, that didn't happen.
It's freaking, it sucks. It's like, okay, you know what option we ran? Well, then this dude runs it down. Dude, like
every pass play, he's...
Every pass play, it's like, it's hard to call because...
He's
so, I mean, this is where, like let's... Ooh, because if this was... We're playing Purdue next week, I'd be like, to the Hall of Fame we go.
Canton time.
But like I just am I'm looking out for the trap, and the trap is a Michigan team playing really well.
Right.
And a game changing defensive line.
A matchup that sometimes it's not only about being good, it's about a matchup and where they're good, Nebraska's a little vulnerable and unproven.
We got Nebraska, I mean? Which like we love him. We love like that we got a freshman kid in there. That's battling. I mean, you got to be tough. You got to be a dude to even be out there as a freshman lineman. You got to be a freaking dude. But damn, man, that's a tough matchup. That's tough to go against the All Big Ten D end. Your second start ever. Like,
yeah, that's brutal.
We better give him a quarter of like chip blocks, bootlegs, things to get Prochaska off of like a.
Like a straight up.
Island, just drop. Like, I think give him a quarter or two before he has to do that.
Do you think the other thing too with the offense? I think it also makes a difference to have everybody healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, Oliver Martin in the equation makes a difference. Having Xavier Betts out there obviously makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we've talked about this a ton, but that's also, it feels like this is the most healthy they've been all year now.
Both tight ends.
Betts healthy.
Betts.
Martin.
Manning.
Turay.
And Turay all playing at the same time. That you have places to go besides one guy. You know,
right.
It's
right.
It's it was great to see like spreading the ball around, and you know,
it just it was incredible to see just what this offense can look like when you have everybody healthy. You get an offensive line that's getting a consistent push and not shooting themselves in the foot. And the play calling, just everything came, the stars aligned on Saturday night.
I hope we didn't have too many big plays all in one game, because when this offense gets big plays, it just feels like it takes the pressure off of everything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we played a lot of these games where we've gotten a lot of yards the hard way, and it's like we spend all this time and energy getting from the 20 to the 20, and then like we use up everything and can't get in the end zone, where you get a couple big plays and then you get these easy like 2 yard touchdowns
that right.
Mark, like
that was kind of the game.
He's walking in, he's like, okay, we call good, like the game's over in the first quarter basically,
right?
If you just, you know, with a couple big splash plays instead of always having to earn it and be perfect, and then we end up, you know, having we shoot ourselves in the foot. And so like we didn't have to even like put ourselves in the with the opportunity to shoot ourselves in the foot. We just made some big plays.
Sure. And that makes a huge difference.
Didn't have to punt.
Well, yeah, how about that? Yeah, you know? The best way to solve the punting issue is to not punt. I think that's what someone, you know, the guy from Jaws who hunts Jaws was like, I'll solve your punting issue for you. Just don't punt.
Like, I got an idea.
but it makes sense. The other thing I was thinking about, though, and I say this, but I'll preface it, and I'll kind of elaborate in a second, though. Like, the further removed I get from playing, and I think you'd agree with this, the more important I look back on and reflect on how important confidence is. And confidence, the type of confidence that only comes from having good things happen in a game, mm-hmm. not in a practice, not in a scrimmage, not because you busted it in the weight room for a long time. Like, good things, tangible things that happen in a game. This offense, this entire collective unit, has not been able to find a ton of confidence building moments from games. Mm-hmm. And I really sincerely believe that sometimes the only difference is the Charles Barkley line. The only difference between a good player and a great player is confidence. And I look at a lot of the guys. Now, we'll find out about Prochazka and Noelle. And I think our boy Doyle Juergens is good and all that. But like, I look at a lot of the guys offensively, there's a non-negotiable level of like physical talent that you got to have. But when all of a sudden it clicks in between your ears with confidence, that's when things get really interesting. And we've talked about this team needing to kind of catch a wave of momentum and get some momentum going. But I think what we're kind of talking about now as this season has progressed is the offense finding that confidence and that momentum. And maybe Saturday night was the catalyst to beginning to kind of like build some confidence up with that group. I don't know how those guys didn't walk into there. I don't know if they get together on Sundays or on Mondays or what they do. They take Sunday off or not. But I'd have to imagine those guys walked into their meetings feeling, strutting their shit pretty good today. Well, and they haven't had a lot of strut their shit meetings.
And I don't think our state and our fan base has felt like this, like what I felt when I woke up, this weird relief and excitement. Like, the players feel that too. They feel it when the fans come back into it. And in this really weird way, I feel like the fans, like, they went from the freaking the dumpster and like came up like, I'm back. You know, like, I think the players felt last night. I was on dad duty. I couldn't go to the game.
Right. It seemed like
everybody said it was incredible.
Right.
They said the atmosphere was electric. The whole, like, you hear about the thunderstruck?
Yeah, third quarter thing was cool. Where
the lights went down, the flames and the red, and, like, people were, like, saying it was an unbelievable moment. And I think we've been missing some of that. Like, that electricity from Memorial Stadium, these guys felt, I mean, they earned some of it, too. Like,
sure, they went out and played well Yeah.
But, like, that's going to build up, I think, some confidence, too. Like, these guys are going to have a pep in their step, and you want to talk about a spark? If you think this week's a spark, if we could beat Michigan, I think we're on ABC.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is game day coming? I heard game day was talking about.
I think it's Texas, Oklahoma. I think they're doing Texas, Oklahoma this week.
Okay. It might be a jinx if they would have came.
So yeah. Okay, right. That's fine. But nevertheless,
we're on ABC.
Well, Bo, 6:30. I think the atmosphere this Saturday for Michigan. Is it best home atmosphere? I think that place best since Miami 2014.
No, Ohio State game day.
It
kind of rained that day, but it was electric until the Wandale
tip pick.
Yeah. And then our season went down the drain.
Yeah, that was not good. But
the next two.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Sorry about that.
But
but that was a big time moment.
It's gonna be cracking in there. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go into Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com.
It should be cracking, man.
You want to know why it was cracking yesterday? Was because you know who let him out of the tunnel with the with the tunnel walk.
Oh yeah,
Nick
Baugh came to Memorial Stadium.
So hold on, let me kind of elaborate on this whole thing. So for people that don't know, well, okay, so let me just paint the picture. So I'm at home with my kids, wife, watching the game. All of a sudden, right before the kickoff, my phone starts blowing up. And that's never good when all of a sudden you get like a bunch of text messages, a million tweets, and you're like, oh,
Martinez stubbed his toe on the tunnel walk. He's out.
Yeah, you're like, oh, God. I'm like, okay, what's happening? And Dirk Chatelain tweets at me, Sam McEwen tweets at me, pretty sure I just heard Nick Baugh's analysis on the tunnel walk. My brother was at the game. He goes, I wasn't paying too close of attention, but I think I can spot my brother's voice when it comes over Memorial Stadium. And I'm like, what just happened? You know?
Did you get an explanation from anybody? Like, cause nobody, you just like, I remember you sent me a text. You said, look at this.
Yes.
But nobody said anything. They just like,
no, that's where I could, people be like, you didn't know? No, no one called me. No one told me. I didn't get a call from Trev Alberts. I didn't get a call from Scott Frost. I did tweet at Ryan Held earlier this week that Rocky IV is going to be in theaters for one night only.
The running backs will be attending.
And I was like, I tweeted at Held and he liked the tweet. I was like,
yes. Yeah.
But so maybe that caused Held to be like, we got to include this guy in the total walk. But unbelievable. So for people that
I think you on, it was maybe the Buffalo or Oklahoma pod, because I remember you were talking about the defense and you were like, this group is tough. This group is, you know.
Yes.
I want to say it was one of those two recaps.
I don't, because it's, but it's two. It must have been, maybe it was this Michigan State one, because I also referenced the fact that this is as good of a three-game stretch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As you'll, so.
That was, it must have been.
So my voice is the first voice you hear on the tunnel walk. And it's so, me praising, saying, yeah. Hey, these guys are tough. They'll set the edge. They'll blow up a lead blocker. You have to go back to 2009, 2010 to see a three-game stretch as good as this. And then they kind of go into the highlights of it.
How about that? It's just really crazy that was put in the tunnel walk and you didn't know. And it was like,
I had no idea.
Like, that's why it was almost a better experience, because you're like, wait, what?
I will tell you, like, two things. Number one, I sent it to your brother.
Yeah.
I sent it to your brother. I said, look at this. He goes, that is awesome. He goes, you might as well start negotiating your tunnel walk deal now. Best game we played in 4 years when Ball leads us out of the tunnel.
I mean, it's Nick, like, every week you should be like, guess what? Nebraska, yeah. Right now.
Michigan, no way.
But this offense is turning into a octane machine.
This is why I couldn't be in charge of something like this, because you're not too superstitious. I'm very superstitious.
I'm getting more superstitious.
So I'm the kind of guy that if I were in charge of the tunnel walk, Nick Baugh podcast clips would be the first thing you hear.
We got it. We should maybe send that out to him. Like, send him something.
Should we send him Vocalek? Should we send him like I Vocalek,
I crush, I kill you. Michigan.
Hello, Husker fan. It's Vocalek. I need you loud so I pancake and catch ball.
Up north Siberia, we wear Wolverine hats to stay warm. Go Husker Nation.
Where I from, we kill Wolverine and use it to stay warm. You these Wolverines scare Vocalek?
No. Up north, Wolverine is a great source of meat. Feed family for a week. I don't know.
That's what I want. I want that, then the tunnel walk hits.
But I think you could actually do like a every week you just be like the tunnel walk.
Give some sort of just some tunnel like walk, a, like usable clip type thing.
Yeah, because it's a hype up, but kind of plays off of what happened from last week.
Right. Because that's it. Clearly the tunnel walk, it was the defenses. I mean, you can't like, I don't know what else they would have used for this tunnel walk coming off. But
somebody said, this is what you need to use.
Somebody.
Who's that person?
I don't know. Whoever's listening, just send me a.
Keep sending clips. Even if they're stupid, maybe they'll play one of our dumb ones.
Oh, I'm going to get like an anonymous letter and be like, thank you for the clip. That was good. I don't. Yeah. How about that, though?
That's pretty awesome. I mean, Nick, you got to be, you finally got your tunnel walk.
Not to.
Didn't get to ever walk out.
You, my friend, got to experience it.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. When you're thinking about Nebraska football, when you think about the entire program, you think of a couple of things, the black shirts, the option, whatever. One of the first things you talk about, though, is the tunnel walk. The tunnel walk is one of the most identifiable things about Nebraska football. Yeah. I got to be a part of it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was very – Kim was making fun of me. I mean, I was, like, strutting my stuff around.
Because
like,
you should have.
You know what I think I need to do is – you'll appreciate this because of, you know, our guy – Troy McClure from The Simpsons. Yeah. You know, Troy McClure, hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such films as Get Confident, Stupid. Yeah. That's what I remember. I think I might have to just be, hi, I'm Nick Ma. You might remember me from such tunnel walks as Northwestern in 2021. I need to introduce myself.
Is you that, have it on the resume.
I'm the tunnel
you're
walk
the
guy.
You're the tunnel walk
hey,
guy.
You're the tunnel walk guy. I'm going to go to like some coffee shop and order food. But what?
Hold on. You. I wonder,
you're the tunnel walk guy. No way.
I bet there's a good chunk of people that, because I made my wife didn't see any of it. And I go, I made her listen to it and took her two listens. She goes, is that Nick? I said, it's Nick.
Unbelievable. But I digress. It's just like, yeah, I had to pat myself on the back a little bit.
It's this pod.
It's though. Cool. It's though. This it's pod. Cool. It
so,
is cool.
So if you're listening to this pod, this has a chance to
this
make
has
it
a chance
walk.
To make the big the big tunnel walk here. But so anyways though, like we're talking about the atmosphere. I feel like that was time for me to kind of like, well, you know,
yeah, I
like
was
when
a part
he pulls
of that
the
atmosphere.
Jazz flute. Like I wasn't prepared for this at all. Ron Burgundy and Anchorman, but I feel like that was the perfect time for me to jam in my tunnel walk thing. But no, the atmosphere that felt like a real thing. It's just and it kind of plays into where like Nebraska needed a night like that. They needed a night of all good vibes, everybody leaving Memorial Stadium, riding high, everybody waking up today. I went on my bike ride and was, you know, everybody was waving at each other and smiling this way. Everybody's feeling great. And that's what this program needed, the fan base needed. But I think most importantly, it's what this offense needed.
Bingo. I mean, this offense has a chance to get better now because they saw it. Like I said, they saw good things happen. And now, you know, if you're Michigan, you have to spend all week practicing this option. So now Scott Frost can, you know, he's got, you know, the world's his oyster for what he can call this week because Michigan is going to spend all day practicing option.
I mean, you tell me, I would feel like that'd be the number one thing they would feel like they got
to. They have to.
Because if you're not, that's the beauty of the option. It's like if you're not like sound and buttoned up with it.
Martinez score.
That's pitch score
80 yards
dive, you know, I mean,
not on the, you know, like we hit that play three or four times for big yards. I mean, now, I mean, that's just like as a defensive coordinator, you go, shit, you know, you got to
be on what happened at Oklahoma option pass, step back, you hit Allen or Vokolek, and they're going to be passing all that.
That means that they have everything that they call as a defense. You got to have a guy on dive pitch QB every play. You know that leaves you less options for. Do you want to get creative? Do you want to do this blitz or that blitz, or how about
you better
have to play option football, which sucks because it's disciplined and it's vanilla usually.
It gives it give it kind of it puts the defense in conflict.
Yeah,
it kind of gets them on their heels a little bit. Like it's hard, man.
You usually have to play a little bit more conservative. I mean, and so like that, I think that's good for the offensive line.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, Mr. Rude.
Down front, the guy that was in the tunnel walk introduction.
Hi, Nick Ma from the tunnel walk. could you just spitball in this here? Is it sometimes good? Aiden Hutchinson's his name, right?
Yes.
Could you? Is sometimes the best thing to do at like a really good pass rusher is to run option at him? That makes sense.
Yeah, it's
like
not bad.
A way to like, so he's not just kind of pinning his ears back and firing off the ball. Like you could take away some of his aggressiveness if you're running option at him.
Yeah,
I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but like,
yeah, I mean, I think we did like, I remember against Chase Young, we ran that like, remember like it was the dive to Mills where we were doing like this trap block on.
Yes.
You're making him read blocks instead of pin his ears and get upfield and go sack your quarterback.
So just a thought. I don't know. I mean, Greg Austin.
Nick Ball, Scott, I'd like to submit some plays. I'm just saying, Scott, they might listen to you now.
Scott.
Hey, they're listening to us. Maybe they'll listen
Scott,
to you.
Scott, let me tell you. I've been on the tunnel walk, okay? So I've earned the right
I've
to tell you.
I've done my fair share of tunnel walks, so I think I know what I'm talking about.
As a tunnel walk veteran, let me tell you, just run option at Hutchinson.
Option at Hutchinson.
What
game?
And why would being on the tunnel walk allow you to call players? Match. But can I make my prep go for? I don't want to do all this prep and have it not be. Can I real quick go through?
Bang them out.
We'll bang them out. And we'll talk about it a little. I wrote down the 10 defining plays of the game because this will give us a little fun to talk about. Because I really wanted to talk about, and these are kind of in sequential order of how they unfolded. Okay. 10 defining plays of Nebraska's ass kicking against Northwestern 56-7. Okay. First play of the game. Adrian Martinez steps up in the pocket, moves a little left, bombs it down the field to Samari Toure. In some ways, Bo, that play, first of all, it's a good throw by Martinez, but it's a better play by Samari Toure.
Yes.
Where he just made a play. I mean, that first of all, that could have easily been an interception. It could have easily been a complete pass. But instead, he made a play and set the tone for the game. In some ways, that the party was on, the route was on after that play.
Yeah.
And I think it also speaks to the trust that Martinez has in Toure. Big time play.
Big time. He came back to the ball,
right,
made a play, set the tone. He set the tone for the game. And I always feel like, I mean, we're going to talk about some of these plays, but like the ball bounced our way. We made plays. I really think like if you start in Frost's first game and like hit resimulate, best, you know, like,
right. I know what you're saying.
We also talk about like if you simulated all these games again, there's almost no way we could lose like we've lost as many times as we lost.
I think the sports, this sounds weird because if football is probably the most, like, usually the beauty of football is over the course of four quarters, the better team usually emerges and wins. Basketball, more funky things can happen. But, like, there's a part of me that really believes that if Cam Taylor-Britt doesn't catch the ball at the one-inch line and get a safety, Nebraska wins that game.
Yeah.
Because there are sometimes these tone-setting plays for the good or for the bad right away.
Yeah.
And I just think Samari Toure set the tone. Now, part of it is Martinez, like, you got to give your guys a chance to make a play.
Yeah.
And there's the trust to have it for it to happen. But I just thought that there was so many interesting subplots to that play where I feel like without that play, I'm not sure the game unfolds exactly the way it does.
Yeah. That's a good analogy to the Cam Taylor-Britt, like starting the game like that.
Sets the tone in a bad way.
Sends you one way or sends you another.
It absolutely does.
Man, it's like I felt like after that play, I was like, we're winning this
game. Because then it was what, two plays later, Martinez walks in and you're like, Northwestern, get out of here. The second defining play, I loved this. It was third down on Northwestern's first drive of the game. JoJo Doman seemed like he disguised his blitz perfectly. He's lined up. There's a tight bunch and right on the line. He's on a slot guy. He's not inching in there. He looks like he's getting ready to be in coverage.
Yeah.
Dude disguises it, comes in. Northwestern's quarterback never sees him, blows him up, sack. Northwestern's got to punt the ball. I mean, as a linebacker, you're probably huge fan.
He disguised it so well. Like, I didn't see, like, when I missed the sack until, like, he got hit. And then I go,
where did he
come
from?
Yeah, I go, where did he come from? Because I didn't see where it looked like he disguised it that well. But yeah, that was a great play by JoJo, and this was his best game.
He
felt like
awesome,
he made six or seven great, like, close down, make a tackle type plays that worst players, those are first downs.
Right.
JoJo gets the guy immediately down. Like, those are huge plays to me. Like, when a guy can get there on his break so fast and close and make tackles that, like, it keeps your defense off the field, kind of, right?
Absolutely.
And, like, he made a bunch of those.
Well, and then we'll get to his forced fumble in a second, because that was a hell of a play, too. So the second defining play, third defining play was Yant's 68-yard run. I mean, we've talked about it, but it wasn't just, I mean, it was an elusive run. It didn't look like there was a whole lot there. It wasn't like
he bounced it. He juked it, ran by a guy, and then he shoved the guy off.
And grown manned a guy and almost got into the end zone. Big time play. That's probably the best. That's as good of a run from a running back as, I don't know. I mean, there probably were some good Ozigbo runs in 2018, but I don't really remember.
We go back to Ozigbo.
Right.
I mean, Wandale,
you just haven't seen it.
Wandale made a couple good runs, but like that might have been better than anything Wandale did.
I agree. That was awesome. That was also at that point, you felt like Nebraska was going to win. And then, because then they run, I think they had where they brought Chancellor Brewington. Chancellor Brewington the third.
I will block you.
I will check in and go in motion and send you on your keister.
I will have my butler send you a note in the mail. I'm going to block you in 5 minutes. So just let me. The maid will clean you up off the floor after I pound you. Chancellor Brewington the third.
The maid will clean you up.
He'll make some plays, but his
trash
butler,
talk is super. Yeah, it's very, all like
very old East Coast.
Oh,
trash
God.
Talk.
Chancellor Brewington the third came in motion and he blasted a dude.
I saw it. It was awesome.
Fantastic.
And then Martinez
walked in.
It was the first game where everything was easy.
Yeah, it
wasn't hard to get in the end zone.
Every touchdown was just seemingly like simple.
It's like a revelation. Like it can be that easy. Right? Like when we execute plays, it can be that easy. Really? I mean, maybe it was too easy, but I think it'll give this offense confidence. Like it doesn't have to be that hard.
I know. But Chancellor Brewington the third.
The maid really did sweep up that guy from Northwestern.
Just had to go in there and like clean up, made a mess of a wildcat. He was.
Right. There's a Northwestern player down in the foyer. In the foyer. Get it, Midge. Then he puts on his smoking jacket.
And Verduzco probably joins him. He's like, ooh, a pipe smoking session. This is great.
Let me tell you about quick blinkers.
Okay. Oh, you got me sweating now. Okay. So, yeah. All right. Fourth defining play. Was the play that everyone in the stadium was like, ooh. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at White Castle Roofing. And I've owned two homes in my life, one in Omaha and now one in Lincoln. And both times, when I had some damage to my roof, White Castle Roofing was who I trusted with the job. I had some hail damage to my roof in Omaha. White Castle took care of that and did a great job. And then I had a leak with my skylight in Lincoln. My guy Ben from White Castle was able to come over, take a look at things, get the pieces needed to fix it, communicated every step, and boom, the crew was over and knocked it out quickly. Done and done. The crew was amazing, man. They're fast, they're efficient, they were awesome. Cleanup was a top priority, and most importantly, they did a fantastic job. You can't trust just anyone with your roof. And trust me, you can trust White Castle Roofing. Check them out online, whitecastleroofing.com. That's whitecastleroofing.com. White Castle Roofing, built with trust, proven by time. Martinez's fake pitch, 25. It's third and 10. It was third and 10.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
I mean, well, first of all, the other thing, everything was perfect. The fake pitch was just like gorgeous. But when he hit the gas, Martinez looked fast too.
God, I know. He looked great. I mean, the guy was in no man's land and the guy went pitch.
And Tom Osborne was, Tom, you think Coach Osborne was just like.
Just a tear from his eye. Single
that
tear.
That makes me really emotional.
Very emotional.
Reminds me of Turner.
Would have gone for two again if I had a chance.
Okay. Why would he go into Odie?
I don't know.
Chancellor Brewington trash talk is like about his butler and me.
It's like, yeah, Chancellor, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm good. All right, back to JoJo, fifth defining play of the game. This is what he does really well. He'll shoot his shot. Like, are those moments? So I'm talking about the play on the goal line where he blows up the zone read and then DeAndre Thomas recovers the fumble. You've probably been in those spots. Like, is he just saying, I am on the side of the ball, I'm just going to blow? Like, well, take me into his head a little bit.
So,
because he's really good at that.
He's elite. He's like basically elite at that sort of timing and coming off the edge and either, you know, he'll chase down the ball carrier or that he just basically blew it up. He just basically just had blown up.
The, I'm the going mesh, to the mesh point.
The mesh point and blown it up.
Right.
But he times it and his first step where he goes one, two, three, it's he is quick.
Right.
I mean, it's really impressive. He's elite at that.
It's incredible because he does that. That's like if, you know, certain players have like defining like play, like a classic.
Yeah.
Like his play is that, but what hell of a play.
It's awesome play. Because if they score, I mean, the momentum could shift.
Because with that, did they already have seven?
They had seven.
So it made it probably 21-14 or 28-14, maybe?
It was either 21 or 20. I can't remember. But I remember vividly thinking, man, they get in here. They could hang around.
Yeah, right, right.
And after that, it was like
yeah, it was game. A wrap. Then sixth defining play, just to give a little love to I think it was Sichterman, Ramir Johnson's touchdown run. Like Sichterman basically, like he had a guy on skates in the end zone and Ramir was able to punch it in. And the reason I also chose that play was that was the touchdown right at the end of the half. So the defense gets off the field. There's a minute 52 left in the second quarter and Nebraska is aggressive. They go and score a touchdown. Now it's 35-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And Scott Frost said to the reporter, I'm going to get on those guys.
Right.
Who didn't love that?
He was a little like, even after the game, he wasn't coming in there like puffing up his chest. He was more like,
because it's the best
one
thing,
game.
It's the best thing to happen to Scott Frost is that it's clear he's not buying into anything himself. He's going to fix it by like old school, slowly, like not accepting anything other than
totally
what they need right now. And that and part of that is we're not going to get high from one good, like
he never moment. Once seemed like. No. He got excited when they asked him about like the atmosphere, but he was just kind of like everything. He was like,
because he knows next week is
real.
Week.
It's on.
Now, if we win next week, they will be celebrating. Oh, let me just
hope
tell
so.
You.
I sure hope
that
so.
If we could win next week, that locker room would be, oh my God, they're going to be they'll lose their mind.
Chancellor Brewington will bring in caviar.
Oh,
I've brought caviar for
champagne
all.
Champagne and caviar, everyone.
Okay, let me hammer through the rest of these and we'll wrap it up. Just because it's fun to kind of go,
caviar
immediately, please.
Smoking jacket.
Who wants a coconut water and caviar? I would die for one.
This is quite fun.
Did you see me? Okay, so play number seven, we've already talked about it. Speaking of fast, Xavier Betts on first play of the third quarter. Yeah. It's clear at halftime they were like, this is going to be a touchdown. And it was.
Yeah.
Perfectly blocked, pitch, Betts to the races, 83-yard touchdown run. And homeboy, Matt Millen pointed it out, but homeboy took an angle, had him on the long one, and Betts just was like,
he might be the only
ran guy. Ran his ass back to Bellevue.
Yeah, he might. He's still running, Nick. Nick, he's still running.
he's kind of chilling, too, when he's running. You know, some guys look like they're really laboring. He's just like.
The fastest guys don't look like they're trying. That's the best.
His ass was in the left lane in I-80, just like. He was moving, though.
I mean, that dude can run.
I like it.
Gazelle.
That was fantastic. Other defining play, giving our shout out to Omaha Burke, Nick Henrich here. Fourth and 10 is a great, it was one of those classic plays where Chenander kind of bunched the guys right on the line and dropped. Almost like I think Dom Capers used to do this where they're disguising different who's coming, who's not.
Nice Dom Capers.
Reference. You like that? I figured, look at me speaking your language. You how about go. That? Right. I'm like pandering to you. I'm like, how about third down blitzes? Does that get you excited? But that, like Henrich was on the line. He gets in there for the blitz, forces an incomplete pass. I mean, another big play on third down or on fourth down, they were going for it. And Henrich did a good job on a screen earlier in the game, too. It was like second and 21 and beat the screen.
There was nobody else there. That was a good one.
He was fantastic. And then, because then I think after this fourth down play, I think two plays later it was, you get the Martinez 38-yard touchdown to Samari Toure. And now it is 49-7. With about 9 minutes to go in the third quarter, and Martinez's day is done.
Martinez threw that ball. He scored. I'd never seen him look more confident than
I agree.
He turned to his guys and he was just, you could see it in his face. Like right now, I'm the man right now.
Right.
That's a good sign.
That's a great sign. So, because shove that thought, we're gonna get that in a second. And then the last one was the first punt of the game came with at the 5:42 mark of the third quarter, and it went 84 yards.
It's almost laughable when good things happen.
Right.
More good things
happen. It's amazing.
But
right?
That's what we've been trying to point out is like when good things happen, more good. Like, and when bad things happen, it's the same way.
So for whatever reason, good breeds good and bad breeds bad.
It's crazy.
I don't know why, but that's just and how it is.
We've had 4 years of bad.
I know.
Bad breeding bad.
And I mean, it's just funny that punting was like the most malign, top of mind thing. They don't punt until 5 minutes ago in the third quarter and it goes 84 yards. And everybody's like,
I mean, almost like as a joke, people were cheering and laughing. But like,
the guys were like celebrating with Pristup pretty good.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, I don't know. It's almost frustrating to me. It's like, dude, like if you can do it, you know,
that's it. You were talking about Martinez. We'll kind of wrap up with this thought. We can't take for granted Martinez and the black shirts. Can't take those two things for granted. The black shirts held Northwestern to 7 points, 37 rushing yards and 293 total yards. That'll do. That'll do, Pig. That'll do. And then Martinez, 8 carries, 50 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was 11 of 17 for 202 yards and a touchdown. I'm totally with you. I thought his body language after, because he did, if you watch him, so when he does the, on the long Torrey touchdown, he does the touch, and he looked the most like, he just looked like he was drenched in confidence that whole game to me.
And every time I see him on the sideline now, the difference between this year and last year, he's owning things. You can see him telling everybody what they need to be doing.
Right.
I love that. I love being on a team with somebody that's so engaged in what's going on that they're like, that they're thinking about everything.
Right. Well, to me, that's the quarterback you have. I've always felt like the quarterback, that's a non-negotiable part of the job.
Yeah.
You have to be a beacon of hope for everybody else. You have to talk to everybody else.
Yep.
You have to be engaged with everybody else. It's the most important position in sports.
Yeah.
And I'm totally with you. He on the sidelines. I just like everything about him right now. You know,
it's all starting to go in the right direction with him. It's like a more confident version of that freshman we saw in 2018.
Millen said it was the best game he's seen Martinez play. I mean, he was pretty damn good against Oklahoma.
He's been good for 3 or 4 straight games.
He played bad against Illinois. Other than that, dude's been really good the whole season.
Yeah, he's been good. He just needs to get W's. I mean, he just needs to keep getting W's and good things will happen. The fact that the guys around him are starting to make plays, Betts, Manning, Torre, Yant, like, you keep getting other people to make plays, and Martinez is only going to get better.
I just think
it takes the pressure off him and lets him then,
right,
like, be faster than he could.
Think that he's got dudes around him now. I'm not saying these guys are, you know, all world dudes, but the picture of Torre, Martin, Manning, Betts, Vokolek, Allen, and then the, you know, one of those four running backs kind of like giving you something. That's a decent little picture as long as that old line's giving you something. But I just think like we can't take for granted we can't take for granted what the defense is doing, and we can't take for granted what Martinez is doing.
Yeah. I mean, Nick, you mentioned the stats, but I'm looking at, they have this, you know, the box score, and then they have like the graphic, and it has Northwestern stat to Nebraska stat, and they have the red and the purple. And on rushing yards, you said 37.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Yeah.
But you know what's even better is when you compare that to our rushing stats. 427. So on the graph, it's purple and it's red. 427 to 37 in rushing yards this game.
Right.
That's the stuff that you go, hold on. This is Nebraska. Like, that's the jump they just made there where you go, whoa. Like, this is something to build off of.
Because at halftime, for all intents and purposes, the game is over at halftime.
Yeah.
And they had zero penalties in the first half, dominated them running the ball. And that only continued for the game. But it's an impressive. Nebraska had they had no turnovers. You know, they had a couple false starts after Smothers came in and Matt Masker came in and whatnot. I think they had 4 penalties for the game, but they were all kind of inconsequential, junk stuff, you know. The big thing for me too was I think this game also is a window into one of the things people were worried about or questioning was, okay, where's this team at emotionally now? You know, two gut punch losses. You lose at Oklahoma. You lose a heartbreaker at Michigan State. You're 2-3. You've had a couple of years of just continuing to kind of not have a lot of success. Football's not a very fun sport to play unless you're having some success, right? Like, it's just not. I mean, football's hard.
Basketball's more fun to play even if you're losing.
Like, football practice sucks. I'm sorry. Football practice is not fun. Basketball practice can be kind of fun. Yeah. Like, it can be. And football is one sport you practice 10,000 times more than you play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not winning, it's hard to keep investing in the process, right? I think one of the things to take away, because people are trying to extrapolate and project, okay, what's this Frost era going to be? Who knows? Who knows what the rest of the season is going to be like? But I just felt like that the mental and emotional makeup of the team is in a pretty good place because they played with a ton of energy yesterday. Yeah. They played with a ton of emotion yesterday. They played with a ton of fight yesterday. And you don't do those things unless you're all in. Football has a way of revealing, like, football is a sport you can't play halfway into it. It's why all-star games don't work for football. Like, you can't halfway play football.
No, not at all.
And just, I know it's a little thing, like, even little things like, first of all, after every defensive play, multiple guys, patting each other on the helmet, all that stuff. But even, did you notice on the kickoffs,
They run
through it. I don't know if they were doing that the whole year, but like little stuff, they were running all the way through.
Yeah.
I just thought the mental and emotional makeup is, I thought that bodes well for what this team, and it goes, it's kind of in line with what Frost has been saying, that he told reporters last week and he said after the game that a lot of the leaders on the team have said that we feel more confident now than when the season started. Like, I think they are pissed. They know they're better and they haven't had the results to back that up, and they just want to they want to prove people that they're better than what they've shown, and they did.
Yeah, they. It's sad that I think every year you start the year and you kind of don't know what you are, and I think it took a couple of play well but lose the game moments to Oklahoma and
Michigan State
for them to go like, oh, we're way better than.
Because you know
what has happened to us.
Even if you lose as a player, you know, like, oh man, we're fucking better than they
are.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's one thing that is different. I think some people think you can only gain confidence or like you sometimes can learn just as much or take away just as much if you lose a game.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, you can learn a lot, but like they need, like,
but they need, they still need
to get to the next level to win the division title. They need good things to happen and build on that.
Right.
Like, they need to be able, like, the offense, I think, especially, like, games like this will make the offense better.
Yeah.
Like, defense, yeah, a little bit. I mean, defenses, I think it's more like they're going to be a little bit more what they are. But this offense can really make huge jumps with confidence more than anybody else. And this game was a confidence builder.
It's just, you started out with your big thought of like, hey, the season still got a little life in it. And if these changes on the offensive line continue to yield some semblance of productivity and positive results.
Yeah.
If Yant can be now a factor in things, pretty good. And if they can stay healthy in their skill spots, like, all of a sudden now I'm with you. It's just like all of a sudden this season, you're like, a lot of people were ready to, after the Illinois game and then after the Michigan State, there's a lot of Michigan State game. There's a lot of people that were ready to just kind of like this game or this season. This team, and now you're like,
as long as Nebraska can play it against a good team like a Michigan State, and it still like feels like it matters,
right?
That's what's important. It still matters. That game made Michigan matter,
right?
The Michigan game matters now,
right?
It's a night game. People are gonna be pumped. You look around the West.
That's what I was just
saying. Iowa's kicking butt.
Iowa looks good.
Everybody else, Wisconsin is lost. Minnesota squeaked one out this week, but. You know, they just lost a couple
Bowling
bad
Green.
Games. I mean, if Iowa coughs up a couple losses.
They play Penn State this week.
Okay. So let's say Iowa loses and Iowa coughs up another one later and we beat Michigan and we win another. Like, then you start going, we're in this. Right now we're not, but there's a chance. Like, there's still like this scenario, right? As long as you still think like that, it's a good thing.
But that's, but the, it's why we were big on after the Illinois game, of everybody's writing the obituary. It's like, shit, guys, the season is, even after this Michigan State game, it's like,
yeah,
there's whatever would have been seven more games left. So there's now six more games left.
Yeah.
And the good thing is a lot of your tough games are in Lincoln.
Yeah.
And if they can continue to manufacture the kind of energy that the crowd had, and I think that's where you got to really tip your cap to the defense. There's something about a good defense that gives a home crowd something to be confident about, feel good about, bring the energy for.
Yeah.
Right? Because really offensively, you know, you're quiet before the snap. Like, a crowd, like the crowd impacts home defense more than offense.
Yeah, right? And the defense gets on the big downs,
the roar, yeah, and all that.
The offense makes, you know, call it two plays a game. They mess up because they didn't hear things well.
Sure. Right. And that makes it's a difference.
Advantage.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, all of a sudden it's just, you know, that roller coaster of the season is in full force. And now all of a sudden you got a game where you, like you said, this game matters and it's really interesting.
Gosh, it's just highs and lows, though. You said roller coaster, and I started thinking about
Illinois.
Like, Illinois, win-win, Oklahoma, Michigan, Northwestern. Yeah. And now let's see where it goes.
Can
we crank it up a notch over that?
Let's see where it goes. Great. You beat Michigan, and all of a sudden you're 4-3. And you still got a home game against Purdue. You're going to host Ohio State. You're going to host Iowa. Wisconsin's not playing great, and who knows what status of Graham Mertz is going to be moving
forward.
Minnesota's been okay after they lost, you know, Muhammad Ibrahim, their good running back. Like, they've clearly not been quite as solid. Like, yeah. I don't know. Just there's the bottom line is things still matter, and it feels like Nebraska's getting, you know, incremental. You just think about the team you watch play Illinois, and then think about the team you watch play Northwestern.
Yeah,
it's almost looks like two different teams.
Yeah, our offense looks like night and day different,
unbelievably different. So there you go. Okay, how about that? Look at us being efficient.
Do you have anything you want to say for the tunnel walk next week,
Nick?
Nick Baugh,
tunnel walk, 2021 Northwestern. Yes. By the way, best game the team's ever played under Frost, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, do I need to provide something? What would be like the, I'm trying to think what the hook would be for, like, you know, something just,
I've got nothing.
I don't know what, you know, it's come, that you can feel it. Frost has been building this thing brick by brick, and they've been waiting for this moment, for this time, for everything to come together. The defense has been trending in the right direction. Now you look at the offense, they may have found a little something. And if they can complete both those phases with the solid special teams, Michigan, look out. How about that? Okay, yeah. There you go. How about that?
I'd say you're good with that. Work. I'd send it to him right now.
Okay, there you go.
That was on the spot.
That was on the spot.
That's pretty good.
Right, that was fine. So
there
you go.
That's why you're the best in the business. That's why Fox is going to say, hey.
Hey, you're the guy.
You're the guy.
But this, I'm superstitious. Listen, Tunnel Walk, Husker Vision people, you can do what you want. You guys have been doing this for a long time. I'm superstitious. I'm just saying. My voice was the first voice you heard on the Tunnel Walk, and they won 56-7, and were incredible. If you don't have it be me, it better be like Tom Osborne being like,
I'd still go for two.
I would go for two. Or just if it's Tom Osborne being like, I think in 1997 we would have beat Michigan. And then the Tunnel Walk, like, I'm good with that. I'm not going to argue with that.
I think they should call you and let you actually record something.
Yeah, make it professional. Because yeah. I need that intense music behind it as well. So there you go. Okay, well, when we from today, we will be sitting here talking about a little Michigan game recap. So are you on dad duty going to the – are you
going? I'm going. Our boy Stu Bradley may be coming. Whoa. So, Stu, this is a shout-out. Can you make it? We hope to see you there.
Whoa. Okay, if Stu Bradley's in the house, Nebraska. If I'm on the tunnel walk and Stu's in the house, Nebraska win by 28.
How can you 30, lose?
You can't lose. You can't do it. Okay. Let's go talk to Chancellor Brewington about finding some caviar.
Chancellor!
Chancellor, run here, please.
A Huda Media Production.